Welcome back to the SpaceX Daily Show. Today we're diving into Starlink's latest move, and joining me to dissect this is space industry expert Neil Rocketman. Neil, great to have you.
Always a pleasure, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
So, big news. Starlink wants to bump up their speeds to a whopping gigabit per second. Gigabit, Neil, that's fiber-like territory. They're even cozying up to the FCC for approval.
Indeed. This isn't just a speed bump, Ashley. It's a whole speed lane upgrade. But the kicker here is how they plan to do it. Remember those massive next-gen Starlink satellites Elon's been teasing? The ones so big only Starship can handle them? Well, they're the key.
Okay, so bigger satellites closer to Earth equals faster internet. Makes sense in theory, but what are the implications here? Are we talking about a complete overhaul of the existing Starlink network?
It's more of an evolution than a revolution, Ashley. They're talking about a new generation of satellites, not replacing the whole shebang. But this move does highlight SpaceX's long game. They're not just building a satellite internet company, they're building a space-based infrastructure for the future.
And let's not forget the FCC's role in all of this. SpaceX is essentially asking for permission to rewrite the rules of the satellite internet game.
Absolutely. This filing with the FCC is crucial. SpaceX needs approval to lower their satellite altitudes and optimize their frequency use. It's a power move, showing they're not afraid to push boundaries and challenge the status quo.
Speaking of ambitious plans, Italy's looking to tap into Starlink's potential to bridge the digital divide. Word on the street is they're testing the service in some of their more remote regions. Neil, what's your take on this transatlantic partnership?
It's a shrewd move by Italy, Ashley. They're lagging behind on their broadband targets, and Starlink offers a quick and relatively affordable solution. Remember, we're not just talking about connecting rural villages for Netflix here. This is about providing access to education, healthcare, and economic opportunities that rely on a stable internet connection.
Right. It's about leveling the playing field. But isn't this just a temporary fix? What happens when Italy catches up on its fiber rollout?
That's the billion-euro question. Is this a stopgap measure or a long-term strategy? It'll be interesting to see how this pilot project plays out and if it influences Italy's overall broadband strategy. Could this be the start of a larger trend of governments partnering with private space companies to achieve their connectivity goals?
So, from launching rockets to launching tweets, Elon Musk seems determined to leave his mark on just about everything. His acquisition of Twitter, now X, has been a wild ride, to say the least. Neil, what's your take on his vision of an everything app? Is this the future of digital interaction, or is it just another billionaire pipe dream?
Ashley, it's classic Musk, isn't it? Think big, disrupt everything, and worry about the details later. The idea of an everything app isn't new, but Musk's ambition, coupled with X's existing user base, makes it a fascinating prospect. Imagine a single platform for social media, payments, news, maybe even government services. It's audacious, but if anyone can pull it off.
But can he? Critics argue that Musk's focus on rapid-fire changes and monetization strategies is alienating users and advertisers. Is he sacrificing the platform's core functionality for a vision that might be too grand, even for him?
It's a delicate balancing act. Musk's walking a tightrope between innovation and user experience. He needs to retain the core user base while attracting new users and revenue streams. The success of his everything app vision hinges on his ability to strike that balance. It's a gamble, no doubt, but then again, Musk's no stranger to taking risks.
Speaking of ambitious projects, SpaceX is making headlines again. This time, it's their Starlink satellite internet service, offering free access to areas hit by hurricanes Helene and Milton. Neil, what do you make of this move? Is it pure altruism, or is there a strategic play here?
It's a savvy move on multiple levels, Ashley. On the surface, it's a compassionate response to a natural disaster, providing a vital lifeline to communities struggling to recover. But let's not forget, this is also a golden opportunity for SpaceX to showcase Starlink's capabilities to a wider audience.
Right. It's a fantastic marketing opportunity. Show, don't tell. People experiencing Starlink's speed and reliability firsthand are more likely to become paying customers later, especially in areas with limited broadband options.
Exactly. It builds goodwill, demonstrates the technology's value proposition, and potentially expands their customer base. Plus, let's not underestimate the strategic importance of having a robust communication network that can withstand natural disasters. It aligns perfectly with SpaceX's long-term vision of making humanity multiplanetary.
Interesting point. If Starlink can provide reliable communication in the aftermath of a hurricane, imagine its potential in even more extreme environments. It could be a game changer for disaster relief, remote research, and even future settlements on Mars.
Precisely. This seemingly small act of providing free internet access could have far-reaching implications. It highlights the evolving role of private companies like SpaceX in disaster response and global connectivity. It's a glimpse into a future where satellite internet is not just a luxury, but a critical part of our infrastructure.
So, Neil, SpaceX just pulled off another Falcon 9 landing, marking another step towards full reusability. Meanwhile, this article highlights India's ambitious plans for their own partially reusable rocket. What's your take on this space race subplot?
Well, Ashley, it's important to remember that SpaceX and ISRO, while both aiming for reusable technologies, are playing on very different fields. It's a bit like comparing apples and oranges.
Could you elaborate on that? What are the key differences that make a direct comparison difficult?
For starters, the sheer scale of funding and resources available to SpaceX dwarfs what ISRO has. SpaceX operates in a commercial environment with private investors and lucrative government contracts. ISRO, on the other hand, is a government agency with a more limited budget.
That makes sense. And it's not just about the money, right? The overall aerospace ecosystem in the U.S. is far more mature compared to India's.
Absolutely. The U.S. has a long history of private space innovation, a robust supply chain, and a large pool of skilled engineers and scientists. India's space program, while impressive, is still catching up in these areas.
So does that mean ISRO is fighting a losing battle? Should they even bother trying to compete with SpaceX on reusability?
Not at all. ISRO has a remarkable track record of achieving significant milestones with limited resources. They've carved out a niche for themselves in the global space industry, particularly in cost-effective launches and applications relevant to developing countries.
And their focus on a partially reusable system instead of SpaceX's full reusability model, is that a strategic decision?
It likely comes down to a balance of ambition and pragmatism. Developing fully reusable technology is incredibly complex and expensive. A partially reusable system could offer a more achievable stepping stone, allowing them to gain experience and cost savings at a different pace.
Speaking of different paths to space, this engineer's journey caught my eye. We're talking about Sanjeev Sharma, who went from Indian Railways to, well, SpaceX. Neil, what do you make of this career trajectory?
It's quite a journey, isn't it? It speaks volumes about the global nature of the space industry and the diverse talent pool it attracts. Seeing someone transition from a traditional engineering field like railways to the cutting edge of space exploration is truly inspiring.
It's interesting you mentioned diverse talent. Sharma's LinkedIn profile is getting a lot of attention, and it highlights his experience across multiple fields: railroads, hard drives, rockets, even drones. Is this kind of cross-domain expertise becoming more common in aerospace?
Absolutely. Space exploration is no longer solely the domain of aerospace engineers. It demands expertise from various disciplines: mechanical, electrical, software, even materials science. Sharma's background, for instance, likely provided him with a unique perspective on structural dynamics, a critical aspect of both trains and rockets.
And let's not forget the management experience he picked up along the way. Leading teams, understanding different engineering cultures, that's invaluable in a fast-paced environment like SpaceX.
Right. It's not just about technical skills anymore. It's about adaptability, problem-solving, and the ability to work effectively in multidisciplinary teams. Those are qualities that can be honed in various industries, as Sharma's experience demonstrates. It's a fascinating, albeit somewhat concerning, situation. Elon Musk is walking a tightrope, and it seems his political engagements are starting to cast a shadow on his business ventures.
Exactly, Neil. The California Coastal Commission's rejection of SpaceX's expansion plans, citing Musk's political statements, is a clear indication that his actions are being noticed and judged, even if it's not directly impacting his federal contracts.
It's a departure from the norm, wouldn't you say? Traditionally, government contracting has been more about capabilities and less about the CEO's political leanings.
Indeed. But Musk's outspokenness and his very public alignment with certain political figures seem to be testing that traditional boundary. The question is, how long can he maintain this balancing act? His recent activities, like the dark MAGA appearance and the social media storm around hurricane relief, seem to be more about fueling a specific political agenda than advancing his company's interests.
And it's not just the government he needs to worry about. Wall Street is watching too, and the market's reaction to Tesla's robo-taxi launch suggests that investors are becoming wary of Musk's grand promises without a clear path to profitability. The $68 billion drop in Tesla's valuation is a stark reminder that even the world's richest man isn't immune to market forces.
That's right, Neil. It seems that while Musk might be aiming for Mars in the long term, his political ventures might be the asteroid belt he needs to navigate carefully in the present. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, Neil.